This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
Please tell me you found her.
And which her would that be? Snow White? Maid Marian? Emma Swan? It's so hard to keep track of Her Majesty's nemesis.
I'm not in the mood for games, Sydney. I need to know where the Snow Queen is hiding.
Haven't come across the Snow Queen yet, sorry to say.
Find that Snow Queen. Or you'll learn what sorry really feels like.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is an attempt to keep track of Her Majesty's nemesis. We also talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I am fantastic.
Why are you giggling?
I don't know.
Stop giggling. This is not a fun podcast.
This is not fun.
Stop having... Okay, we can have a little fun. Just a little bit of fun. Just a little bit of
fun. Lots of fun.
And as always,
and the villagers rejoiced.
You just heard that very monotone yay from our guest this week, Amy P. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I hear you have a dog in the room with you, right? So if there's any barking, people don't be. You're not being chased by a dog in your car,
nope.
Or anything like that. It's Amy. Blame
right.
Amy.
If you hear anybody going. It's probably the dog.
Probably.
Or yeah. Bill.
Yeah.
He whines mostly, so if you hear that, that's probably him.
See, but the whining could totally be me, too. I'm pretty whiny.
Well, he seems to think if I don't feed him, he'll die at that in that moment, like drop dead right there on the floor. So that's probably most likely what's going on.
Very short attention span.
I like it.
Okay, Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and start us off with the rhyming summary?
Okay, sure. You weren't going to tell people how to sign up to be a guest?
Oh, yeah.
We do still have opportunities.
We do have some spots left for this half season. If you want to be a guest like Amy, you can sign up at bit.ly/beongreetings, all one mashed up try word.
You know,
bit.ly/beongreetings. And there's a link on our website for it, too.
So. True story. Okay. Regina is offloading her work to the mirror. Sydney wants out, but he sort of still fears her. Emma and Elsa are looking for help, but Elsa runs off when she hears Anna's yelp. Regina's reception towards Emma is cold, but out on the ice bridge, a secret is told. The mirror assembled, our heroes outclassed. The genie is free in this week's Breaking Glass.
Breaking Glass. We'll start with Amy. Amy, what did you think of this week's episode?
I thought it was good. A little better than last week. Last week, I only kind of liked bits and pieces of it. Mm-hmm. I liked Emma's backstory. I liked how we got to see more of her childhood, I guess. Not necessarily when she was with Neil, but before that.
Yeah.
At that point. But it kind of didn't turn out, I don't think. But other than that, it was pretty good. I also liked the fact that Sydney kind of turned on Regina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get a little deeper into that here in a couple minutes. Emery, what did you think overall?
Don't mind me while I drink my Haterade.
Your Haterade?
Haterade!
Do you have Haterade in that cup?
I've got some nice, warm, green tea flavored Haterade.
Oh, Haterade. That's
we're Haterading on the level of Tallahassee.
Like Tallahassee level haterating.
I may have fallen asleep during the episode last night.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Possibly. Okay.
There were moments. How about you? What did you think?
Overall, I was kind of cool on it too.
Yeah. You were cool on it. Really? You're going to go there?
Yes.
Don't be that guy.
Oh, sorry. I was cold.
Cold.
But no, I thought like, I definitely, like the episode 2 weeks back, I thought this episode definitely suffered from having the Frozen storyline included in it a bit. And, you know, I just – it felt like a whole bunch of dramatic things thrown together without a lot of sense to it. You know what I mean? But I don't want to seem too haterady like you.
I will haterade all day long.
Maybe just a little haterady. But I figured we'd start with something positive, something I liked. And I really enjoyed, Swan Queen United. The sort of it was a bit of a bickering.
It was a bit of a struggle there.
Bickering back and forth, but I really loved, in the end, Regina finally admitted that she doesn't want to kill Emma Swan.
She doesn't want to kill her. Doesn't mean she likes her in any way, shape, or form.
That's a big step for Regina. That's definitely a big step for Regina.
And they've always bickered before, about Henry and stuff like that, too. So it seemed like a normal kind of dynamic between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. And I think that Regina, she just doesn't want to be happy or let people forgive her or go. She's ready morally from a place inside herself to move on from being the evil queen, but she just won't.
But her heart's broken.
Her heart's broken, and I think it just completely threw her back into where she doesn't think she can change. She doesn't think she can be strong without being kind of.
She's turning emo.
Yeah, yeah.
She's basically turning into
She's not
emo
the
kid.
Evil queen. She's the emo queen. So, and I definitely enjoyed, them teaming up with their magical powers, which I believe last time we saw that was on a bridge across a ravine.
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah. There's been a lot of that.
But, them fighting the Draugr from Skyrim was nice.
Is that what it was?
That's completely what it looked like. That,
okay. I saw it as Warrior Marshmallow.
Warrior Marshmallow? Nice.
That's how I looked at it. Just like Sir Marshmallow with armor on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The scene, I see where they were going and why they did it with the whole getting them to come together. Realize that, oh, look, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. But together we can defeat it.
Mm-hmm. Just weren't feeling it.
No, seriously, we've already had Marshmallow. We have this giant ice wall. Did we really need this ice monster? No.
It seemed a little tacked on, and it seemed like it would have been cooler to have a throwdown with the Snow Queen herself.
Yes, for
sure.
Yes, can we actually have a real battle? Mm-hmm. No,
I bet that won't come until the end of the half season, right before they go on to break or something like that. It'll be like this big epic battle or something like that.
Yeah. Well, when you have two magical queens who one of their main abilities is to be able to disappear in a puff of smoke, it's going to take a while to get them together in the same room.
This is very true.
They're not going to be together in the same room unless they want to be. But I think if nothing else, that last scene between Emma and Regina, next step, they're going to be total besties. Guaranteed.
Yeah, they really will.
Guaranteed. Okay, Anne-Marie. You had a point here you'd like to speak on.
So this episode, the overall theme that I sort of got is looking for family, which is strange because, they're all related and they're all in the same town. But through the flashbacks and everything, because the Snow Queen basically says she's just looking for a family that loves her. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of realize that they're all sort of looking for their family. Emma in the flashback is just looking for anybody to be her family. Mm-hmm. Regina, we know, has always been looking for some sort of family aspect. Mm-hmm. Snow Queen flat out says it. The Knave, I feel, is looking for his family. He's looking for the...
He's looking for Anna. Right. Anastasia or something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's looking for Anastasia, I think.
Yeah, he definitely has something going on. He's not just the town drunk or anything.
He is not just a boozy bookworm. He's not a boozy bookworm. I mean, he is, but he isn't. So that just seemed like that. But that they all regretted something that they did in the past trying to achieve this. Mm-hmm. Like Emma said, she regretted not keeping Lily's friendship. Regina, we know, has had regret time and time again. One of those being not killing Marion any sooner. The Knave, we know he's regretted things. He did a lot in Wonderland, but of course anybody who didn't watch Wonderland has no idea what's going on and why is there this boozy bookworm. Mm-hmm. So what did Snow Queen regret? That's something that's, one of those.
Maybe losing Emma, because it was the way she looked at her when she found out she was when they first kind of met. Mm-hmm. Look on her face. She looked like she wanted her to remember something, but she wasn't remembering it. So maybe she's regretting Emma in some form, shape, or form that we don't know yet.
or something that happened back there in the past.
But which past now? Is it going to be, you know, child Emma where, you know, Snow Queen was the home lady? Or is it going to be first coming to Storybrooke Emma with, I don't know, Ice Cream Lady Snow Queen that nobody remembers? That's the thing. She wiped everybody's memories.
Well, it seems like definitely just like from the order of the pictures and like that timeline and stuff, because we watched a lot of those first season episodes over the summer for the commentaries. And like it seems like the timeline probably would have been like within the first four or five episodes, I would think.
Easy.
Are we sure it was her that changed their memories, though? Because she could have made like a deal with Rumple and for, you know, somehow, and he wiped their memories for some reason.
Yeah, because he still had some memory. Then.
Yeah, he had a slight. Only when he heard Emma.
Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen.
It's one of the many mysteries, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder if she removes memories by brain freeze or something.
Something. Okay,
Amy, you want to talk a little bit about the Emma flashback and everything?
Oh, yeah. I liked the Emma flashback just because it was – a different Emma we were seeing, not the one from Tallahassee, I guess. It was the younger Emma. I had a crazy random theory about her friend, because I kind of thought maybe she was the Snow Queen, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, she mentioned, like, she was looking for family and all that kind of stuff. I thought maybe for a brief second, kind of more than a brief second, until they kind of ruined it, but at the very end. But, you know, I just kind of thought that maybe she was the Snow Queen with just the way she was acting towards Emma, maybe, and stuff like that. I mean, that was just a random theory that I had.
I have a couple thoughts about her later on, but I think it's definitely possible that she could be working with or involved with the Snow Queen somehow in the real world. Especially considering, you know, based on the contents of the video cassette, that the next place Emma goes after that incident with Lily and everything is to the foster home with Snow Queen, you know, sticking her big old twisted face up in the lens.
How did she not remember that she was on camera?
Who, the Snow Queen?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she does or doesn't think about it or thinks Emma would have lost it.
Yeah, I guess.
Which would make sense.
I just think we're going to see Lily, whether it be in the present or maybe more memories involving Lily.
Oh, if we're going to see more of Lily?
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to see more of her.
Oh, definitely.
I could see that come back.
Like, in one sense, I guess I can talk a little bit about my points down here since we're already talking about Lily. Where was it here? Yeah, it definitely seemed like she could have just been a character that was created solely to provide like a thematic counterpoint to Regina. And she even looked a little like Regina.
Yeah, well, that was specific or on purpose.
But, you know, so I kind of think she could have totally been created just for that purpose. We'll never hear of her again. But they did. There were a lot of dog whistles. Sorry, Amy, if your dog starts yelling. but there were a lot of little dog whistles for people who might be theorizing that she might have a little more significance, like the star tattoo, which Emma has this tattoo of.
It's not a star. She had it was a flower.
Was it a lily?
No.
Okay.
I did a disgusting amount of research on that.
Yeah, because I remember that was one of the first, like, kind of rat holes you fell down as far as theories.
It really was.
Show.
I was like, what is it?
Emma's tattoo.
I never saw a tattoo, so, you know, every time someone mentioned a tattoo, I was just sitting there going, I've never seen a tattoo, but I've never really looked that closely before either, so.
I think it was in Tallahassee, actually, when she was, like, you know, drop the, whatchamacallit, the watches or whatever.
Yeah.
It is the same flower that is on the Prince Charming's crest back in the Enchanted Forest. So there was that link, and it was before, obviously it was before she knew. You're pulling it up, aren't you?
Yeah, here, I found it on our site here. Oh, yeah, it's a little flower.
It's like a daisy.
Here, let me screen share here. No. And you can, if you just go to greetingsfromstorybrooke.com and search for tattoo, it's from episode 7, Into the Red Room. Here's the tattoo, if you can see it there. Yeah, it's just a little flower. That could be a lily.
No.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's definitely the same spot and everything, which is interesting. Here, let me go ahead and unshare that.
Maybe it's to cover up the memory.
Could be.
Oh, I like that.
Put a different memory on that spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But, you know, that was one thing, is just like that star tattoo being in the same spot as her tattoo. And then the Harry Potter mention that she gave, you know, like maybe she's special. And then also that she was adopted.
But can we even believe her?
Not necessarily, but the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily, I didn't think it was very believable that that was actually her dad. Like, I mean, they made it to where it could have been, but it could have not been too. Like, it could have been someone from, like, I don't know, like the Home Office.
I was going to say her daddy.
Or, you know, or whatever, that was pursuing her. I think it probably was her adopted father, but mm-hmm. I still think there's a huge possibility for her to have some sort of enchanted forest lineage somewhere in her past, or be connected somehow to these other magical characters we see in the real world, like Snow Queen.
Right.
Or the dragon from way back in the day.
Oh, the dragon.
Way back in the day. And I also just wanted to mention, it probably doesn't mean anything, but Lilith was she's basically like a, depending on the mythology, I think in the Hebrew mythology, she's like a she-devil kind of thing.
And in the Harry Potter mythology, mm-hmm. Lily is Harry Potter's mom.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't
well,
know.
It's just because she made a Harry Potter reference mm-hmm. that, of course, I had to point that out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And of course.
But
you got to point out every Harry Potter reference. It's law.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But, yeah, it could add up to something. It could just be dropped right here. I think personally that it was probably just a one-off kind of to make the point.
Maybe not. Maybe Patty's not. Pointing out that Lillian is also the name of Walt Disney's wife, who was the one who named Mickey Mouse.
Oh, interesting.
I actually knew that and I forgot about it.
She actually says, that has nothing to do with the episode, but it was interesting. But it could have something to do with the episode, Patty. It could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any other thoughts on the Emma-based flashback before we move on? Anne-Marie?
I liked it. I mean, I really enjoyed the whole relationship, and I loved the 90s clothes. I mean, mm-hmm. because...
And the PlayStation 1 and the big box TV that would kill a person if it fell on them.
Yeah, it was good.
All those nostalgic 90s references
that
you'd only get if you were a 90s kid. Okay,
90s kid.
Now, a lot of the Snow Queen's stuff in this episode really tied back into the original Hans Christian Andersen's story of the Snow Queen. Now, I was going to go in and do all the due diligence research, read the original story, read academic papers on the original story. But then I checked the voicemail and Michael Lucero did it all for us. I think he actually just did it off the top of his head.
He probably did.
But he's like a genius anyway.
Oh, that Michael Lucero.
So we'll go ahead and play this. And this will explain, you know, the original story and how everything that happened in this episode ties in.
Hey, Bill and Marie, this is Michael Lucero. Just wanted to give you a little background on the episode. I wasn't really surprised by that ending. I was kind of expecting it, and that's really kind of what the Snow Queen does in the original story. She kind of picks up waifs who don't have homes and takes them back to her own home. The idea of the mirror, it's from the original Snow Queen story by Hans Christian Andersen. And in that story, the mirror actually belonged to an evil troll. And it broke into like a whole bunch of pieces and then fell into people's eyes and made them only see the evil parts of other people and things that they looked at. And one of the shards fell into a little boy's eye and made him leave his own home. And Snow Queen picked him up and took him back to her lair. So his sister goes out searching for him. And this is that where the Frozen story's origin actually comes in. And eventually finds him. And by that time, his heart is almost completely frozen. And her tears melt his frozen heart. And his own tears dislodge the glass from his eye, which ends up saving him. My only theory about where the writers of Once are going with this is that maybe they're latching onto the part where Kay, the boy from the original story, is taken in by the Snow Queen when the shard got in his eye. They could be, you know, reinterpreting this to mean that the mirror will make you want to be part of the Snow Queen's family. So it's interesting that here the Queen is building a mirror from shards from many different people's sources instead of a mirror shattering and spreading to many other people's lives. Classic Once inversion. Anyway, just thought I'd give you some background on that. Take care and can't wait to hear the episode. Bye.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Wow. People research and know things.
I know. Insightful as always. Anytime he leaves a voicemail, I know it's going to be good.
Sometimes I feel very not so smart on this podcast.
That's fine because our listeners are...
Our listeners are smart.
Or smarter than we could ever be.
I'm just sassy.
Sassy. Okay, speaking of sassy, this has nothing to do with being sassy. But if you weren't aware, we've been doing t-shirts the past few weeks.
We've been playing Pimp My T-Shirt, basically.
Yes. And if you're listening to us live on Monday night when we're recording this, you have a couple hours left to pick one up. But we made the goal, so the t-shirts are going to be made. We're very excited.
So we shouldn't mention that we lowered the goal or got the goal lowered.
Yeah, thanks to and we definitely want to thank
you, Sebastian.
Yeah, thanks to Sebastian, the artist of the t-shirt who lowered it for us, and thanks to Hope who suggested it to us.
Oh, she suggested the lowering.
She suggested it, and then Sebastian went and checked on it. And he was like, "Yeah, I can do it." So
score because I really, really wanted my t-shirts.
Yeah,
it's
and
like plural.
And Hope was really instrumental. She moved some shirts for us, so thank you very much.
She did. There will be a little thank you coming to you, sister.
Yes.
There's a thank you coming,
and we definitely. Everyone who ordered shirts, we would love if you could send us pics. We want pics of you guys in your shirts.
Storybrooke selfie.
Storybrooke
hashtag
selfie.
Storybrooke selfie.
I like it.
Do
I
it.
Like it.
You
tweet
Do
it out it. Or Facebook it out or whatever.
Instagram. I'm on there. Mm-hmm. Find me.
Hashtag Storybrooke selfie.
Yes.
And also, we promised that if we reached the goal, even though we had to lower it a little bit, if we reached the goal, that we would do two drinking game commentaries, one for the Haterade episode Tallahassee, and one voted on by you guys. We're going to decide that in the next couple weeks, figure out when all that's going on. We'll probably split it over like two nights or something, but we'll probably stream them live and all that. It'll be fun. It'll be a little party.
Be good times.
It will wear our t-shirts too. Okay, but speaking of, before we get back into the discussion, just one thing. We wanted to mention we have a 100th episode coming up here soon, right? And this also ties into a little bit of once-related news, too. Now, the 100th episode we're going to record on Monday.
Sorry, I'm really excited. I'm, like, shaking with joy.
Monday, November 17th.
Ooh.
Yeah, my voice just went bad.
Okay, so on November 17th, I'm just buying time because I don't really know where you
are. Yeah, Monday, November 17th at 8:30 p.m. EST, we're going to be recording our 100th episode live.
Oh, don't mind me. Just gesturing.
She was
one,
doing hand gestures
zero,
to the camera.
Zero.
But it's also going to coincide with the same week that we're going to have a double episode of Once Upon a Time, because our big story here...
It's like they knew!
Is that the eighth episode of season four of Once Upon a Time, Smash the Mirror, has been extended to be...
Oh, another mirror episode.
Yes. To be a double episode that includes... originally the episode order was 22 episodes. It's been extended to 23, so this double episode counts as two episodes, but we're not losing any episodes off the back half.
That's the key part,
so,
is that we didn't lose. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to afford us the opportunity to go ahead and have a little bit of an extra long episode for our 100th episode. And we wanted to we're not going to have any guests. It's just going to be old-fashioned, me and Anne-Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wanting people to leave us voicemails at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Just to kind of play at the end, we wanted to know how and when you found out about the show.
Mm-hmm. Our show or the show?
Our show, Greetings from Storybrooke. What's your favorite part of our show, Greetings from Storybrooke? And what do you think we could improve? And we'll play them all towards the end of the episode. And we'll be active in the last half of the episode in the chat room like crazy.
Crazy.
Taking questions from the chat room and everything. It'll be a good time. 100th episode, spectacular, November 17th. Excellent. Okay, now we'll get back to the main discussion here.
Yes, as we were.
One thing I wanted to mention, a little check-in on the Captain Swan action this week, which was Team Bill Meeks, my preferred ship last year. I'm enjoying seeing sort of Emma being in a casual relationship where, like, he can just, like, dip in for a second, give her a kiss on the cheek, roll out. They can hold hands while watching old movies.
And where he tries to get in tight with Henry, as the knave likes to point out, oh, yes, get in with the son to get in with the mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, the sailing tripper, they went sailing.
I don't even know what they did.
I would have liked to have seen that deleted scene, especially that's interesting.
Did we get a deleted scene this week?
I don't think so.
Maybe they've listened in the fact that the deleted scenes are all better than the regular episode.
But that whole dynamic is even more interesting considering what's going on with Hook and Rumple right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry's working for Rumple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if maybe we might get a little peek at the sailing sometime later on, or maybe how that whole dynamic's working, you know, mom's boyfriend.
I just want to see Henry work in gold shop at some point, just to see how that works out and stuff.
Oh, yeah. But besides just the little sweeping we got last week.
Yeah. Maybe him trying to sell something to a customer or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll probably get some of that next week since the episode's called Family Business. It seems like it would make sense. But we'll discuss that a little bit more. You okay there?
Pardon me.
We'll discuss that a little bit more when we get to the promo a little bit later. But one more thought on Captain Swan this week before we move on.
I agree.
We need the eyeliner back.
Bring back the guyliner.
The guyliner.
Bring back the guyliner.
Hook needs his guyliner. He just doesn't look right without it. He doesn't look Hook.
He doesn't look Hook at all.
He does not look Hook.
I need the guyliner back.
I think we should tweet out to
how many tweeting things are we doing this week?
The production team, Colin, and just hashtag look Hook.
Look Hook.
Hashtag look Hook. Hashtag guyliner.
Hashtag Bill Meeks is crazy. okay, so this is one of my many issues with this episode. I feel like everything that happened last week just is like poof, bye-bye. Like I sat down to watch it and I'm like, I feel like this was like, could have been in place of last week. I feel like nothing carried over. There was, other than I'm taking Henry on a boat trip, there was no Henry. And Henry was pretty pivotal last week. There was no Rumpel. There was no mentions of the apprentice. There was no, hey, that old guy on the corner, he disappeared. What happened to him?
No Hook trying to cover when it came to lying to Emma about killing somebody.
Right. There was, the closest thing we got was a glare between Hook and a snarky word between Hook and the knave.
Yeah.
And blah.
That's something else I was thinking too. Cause at first I was thinking, you know, this is two episodes, no drama for Emma in a relationship. It must be like a record for her.
Seriously is, yes.
But then I was thinking, no, like the subtext floating behind all of these scenes is that whole deal with Rumpel now, you know.
And it just means something bigger is going to happen down the line. Like it's all peace and everything now, but there's going to be a big, huge fight between them at some point.
It's going to be ugly because it's a trust thing, which we've noticed is her problem is if you lie to her, trust and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but last week it definitely seemed, it felt like we were watching a chess game, like several moves in a chess game. This week it felt like one move.
Maybe.
And that one move was the mirror and Sydney breaking free and everything.
Like it just, I feel like this didn't move very much at all, except for that little bit. And like I said, it took forever for them to get to the point.
Yeah.
So.
And even everyone guessed that the Snow Queen was probably going to be a foster mom of Emma's.
Right.
It was, that's the thing. It was a common theme between everyone. It was no big surprise.
No. It was not even remotely a surprise.
Her like coming up to the camera like this.
Okay, that was a surprise.
That was a
bit of a surprise.
But I, for audio listeners, I just made a very silly face to the camera. Amy, you wanted to talk a little bit about Sydney this episode, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I have a rant of sorts about Sydney.
rant away, my friend.
I've never really been a big, huge fan of Sydney because he seemed to always be a pushover when it came to Regina. Like he'd seem like this big, strong character, I'll do whatever I want kind of thing. But then all of a sudden Regina says jump and he jumps 20 feet high or something like that. So when he flipped on Regina to go over with the Ice Queen, that made me happy because it finally felt like he had the courage to, you know, not be Regina's lapdog for lack of, you know, that just made it a better character to me anyway. I mean, I didn't really miss Sydney when he was gone early, probably because of that, because I didn't want to see him, you know, be all whiny around the queen, him willing to be hit her scapegoat for the most part. So,
I don't think anybody missed him. Like when Emma said, "Where is Sydney? Has anybody seen him?" I was thinking to myself, it's been 2 years and nobody's asked that question.
Well, like,
I know there's been,
like stuff's happened. Sure. I understand. But nobody noticed he was missing till now.
Like I enjoy the actor. I miss the actor for sure.
I'm okay with that. But it just seemed like it was, I don't know, meh.
Well, you know, I can definitely see that perspective, but, you know, I don't know if he necessarily, like, because I've been thinking a lot about Sidney lately. And, like, I don't know if he necessarily flipped on Regina so much as he got tired of waiting around on Regina and tried to move to the next most powerful player on the board. Like, I'm starting to think that Sidney might, you know, we've been talking the past 2 years or whatever we've been doing this podcast about a big, big bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think more and more that Sidney is that big, big bad, and that maybe he was the mirror, and he was there to kind of guide Regina and help Regina accomplish the goal of the curse so he could further his own goals.
Okay.
And, you know, this ties into a bunch of stuff.
Kind of interested in seeing
what... Oh, go ahead, Amy.
Hello?
Oh, sorry. I thought my computer's lagging, so I couldn't tell whether or not y'all were talking or not.
That's fine.
But I was just going to say that I'm really interested in seeing what he's going to do outside the mirror now. Like, what, is he going to... help the Ice Queen and be her lackey now? Or is she gonna, he's gonna try to get back into Regina's good graces by giving her information on the Ice Queen, or try to get in Emma's good graces, for all I know? You know, so stuff like, I'm just interested to see what he's gonna do outside the mirror. Or is just gonna go on and live his life?
I want to see, like, he obviously still has his genie powers, I think, because when they were on the ice bridge, when the wind started, how did Regina... I don't know what she was looking at that she knew it was Sidney.
She was compact.
Right. I'm like, he's in your pocket. You're looking straight ahead, and you're like, Sidney. And I'm like, how? What is going on? Is there like a flying Sidney head?
I think she just kind of assumed that he had led her astray at that point.
Right. You know? It just seemed really weird. Like, it just dawned on her, or like she saw something, and there was nothing there. It was the wind.
Well, I think it's definitely interesting. Like, I think this is the first time since we met Sidney, like in his first flashback, that he's been, because I do think the Snow Queen kind of freed him, you know, like the genie in Aladdin gets freed.
She straight up said, I don't want anything. Goodbye.
Yeah. So this will be the first time he's out there operating under his own auspices and everything. And I
don't believe that, though, that she doesn't want anything. I think she is going to say that now, but then go to him later going, okay, well, I freed you. You owe me one kind of thing. Right. Even though she says, you know, I just have a thing. I think it's going to come back and bite him, basically.
I could see that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But like, my main thing is, you know, we've talked the past few weeks about how Sidney is an anagram for Yensid, which is an anagram for Disney. And Yensid's the wizard from Sorcerer's Apprentice. And we still haven't seen that wizard. And we've also, I was thinking about it, we've never seen Rumpel interact with the mirror. So if Rumpel was aware of the apprentice and he had, like, he wouldn't have there's never been an opportunity for him to recognize Sidney as the apprentice. So I'm thinking maybe Sidney's even the person who authored the book.
I was just about to say, maybe Sidney's the writer.
Yeah. It's definitely possible he could be the writer. Cause I mean, who better than a genie to create a magical book that have control of a magical book that tells everything.
Right.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say that Hope actually pointed out, we have no idea how old Sidney is.
This is true.
He's a genie, and we know that Cyrus lived a couple hundred years as a genie. So, you know, he could be older than Rumpel, and he could have been, you know, putting everything into place.
So I have a random theory now.
I love random theories.
So what if Yensid, Sidney, whoever he is maybe the ultimate, like you said, Bill, the ultimate bad guy, or maybe the very first dark one?
That could be cool.
Oh,
yeah, because you know,
he said no one knew who he, you know, how old he was. He could, if he Sidney is Yensid, he could possibly be the very first Dark One, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean,
why we haven't seen Rumpel interaction.
Yeah, in the very first Dark One, like I would assume the very first Dark One could have found a way to retain like the Dark One stuff, the magic,
without
the curse, you know,
right.
Or maybe he created the curse to get rid of.
Oh, to pass it on.
Or something like
take
that.
Take one, pass it on.
I do like that theory.
And I know he said that no other Dark One will hold this power. The apprentice said that or something like that. But maybe he did that so no one else could get that power but him, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely see that. One thing I wanted to point out here real quick before I lose track of it, Jessica, I came across this. I was listening to The Lost Princess of Oz, the audiobook a couple weeks ago. And they were talking.
It's funny to hear you say, listening to The Lost Princess of Oz. Sorry.
But they were talking about this great book of records here, you'll see here. And it's featured in a lot of different Oz books. And it sounds a lot like the storybook. I'll read a little description of it here. It basically says, the smallest things and the biggest things are all recorded in this book. From a child stomping its foot in anger to a city burning down, and Glinda the Good Witch, she reads the record book every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know, especially considering the Wicked Witch went porcelain, it's been very heavily implied by several people, like cast members and stuff, that Wicked Witch will be back.
She'll be back.
Maybe this book, the storybook, is actually the book of records from Oz. Just a thought. And I'm basically saying it so I can point back to this episode and say, see, I was right.
I was right.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see here. Anne-Marie, you had some costuming.
I always have costuming problems. These are nearly as ranty as usual. First of all, Elsa, I know many people have said this, so it's not, you know, like an original idea or anything. But where did you get a purple cape?
Yes.
You did not appear with a purple cape.
And why didn't you get like a dress or a pair of jeans?
Can we hem your dress, like
maybe a nice set of running sneakers.
It's not a hiking dress.
No, this is not a let me go out in the woods type of dress. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, bandit material. I'm surprised
twigs and leaves and all that didn't get caught up in the train or something like that.
It looks to be very fragile material. So,
plus there's, you know, the whole when in Rome, do as the Romans do kind of thing. You want to kind of assimilate to your surroundings.
Right.
Maybe.
Not that Marion ever did that. And then she froze and is dying on a couch. But, okay, Snow looked so much better this week.
Mm-hmm.
She did not look like a frumpy old maid. She had, you know, something a little trendier on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, she still looks like a woman who just had a baby because she is a woman who just had a baby.
Yeah, but she had like that night. What was that? Like a salmon colored sweater and stuff like that. I think that
I thought it was a jacket.
Week.
No, what she had the black and white. Mm-hmm. With the sleeves underneath.
And then, Amy, you said it was a jacket that I'm thinking of.
It looked like a jacket to me.
Yeah. Oh, but see, I actually saw it more as like a long sleeve shirt. And then she had like kind of a vest, but not really a vest type of black and white thing on. It had the angles. It was trendier. Let's just go with that. Mm-hmm. Hope, I know you know the name of this Tumblr. Find out how much it cost. I'm putting you to work. And Emma, I really liked the white sweater, like the creamy white sweater. I don't know why.
I like that too.
Because I despise the dress.
And her ponytail, that should have been her hair last episode. Not that weird ponytail. That's the ponytail she probably should have worn it.
Yes, yes. Last week she just looked fake. This week she looked like a real human.
I want to see her in that dress sitting in Granny's diner eating like a hamburger or something.
No, she has to have a malted milkshake with one straw.
Or hot chocolate with cinnamon.
Of course, hot chocolate with cinnamon.
Lasagna.
Oh, the lasagna. But yeah, so those were pretty much all I had for costuming.
Costuming.
Mm-hmm.
And that new costume they have Will Scarlet in. Wonderful. Very reminiscent of something I've seen before, though.
Like the thing he's wearing last week?
Possibly.
Yeah, it was like a sweater.
Okay, let's see. Amy, you had a couple points here you wanted to point out here.
Oh, hold on, pause before you even go there. Patty pointed out that they had the Book of Records already in last season. Remember, Glinda pulled it out, and that's how we knew?
Oh, yeah, I forgot
so
about that.
So your entire theory just went ka-poof.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because that was all in flashback, wasn't it?
We didn't look inside the book, and we've looked inside the book before, so it still could have been the book, or someone could have changed it.
Maybe Sydney broke into Glinda's place and copied the Book of Records.
Maybe.
Broken with a photocopier. He probably has a printing press. He was the editor of the Mirror.
I'm sorry. Bobby Hawk just said she got the purple cape from the storybook Goodwill.
Nice. Okay, Amy, you had a couple last points you wanted to address here.
Oh, yeah. Belle storyline. She's kind of been a disappointment to me this season just because she seems to be just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's – to me, it seems like it's more of a contract issue. Like, you know, they have her for a full season, so they need to use her at some point, you know, some point. Mm-hmm. So even if it's just standing there or the one line or something like that.
Right.
Although based on the previews for next week, it seems like that'll change. hopefully.
Yeah, but you should mention that because one of our listeners, and she,
Nani.
Yeah, Nani, I believe listens to every Once Upon a Time podcast ever, but actually left a comment on our letters post today, saying that I guess that Belle, Emily DeRaven.
Yes.
Has been actually filming a movie. So, like, all the scenes we've seen of her up to this point have been kind of like she just, like, showed up on set for, like, an hour to
shoot
her
scene. And
she did all of them? Or, I mean, for, like, each individual scene was just, like, her showing up.
Drove in for 30 minutes.
Exactly. Drove in for 30 minutes and filmed the scene and then went back to her movie.
Interesting.
But I guess from here on out, starting next week, which we'll talk about the promo in a couple minutes, it's going to be very Belle-centric and she's going to have a lot to do.
Thank goodness, and she didn't even get a line this week.
And Amy, you also wanted to point out this one other thing too, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny that Prince Charming made a Thor reference when Josh Dallas was in the original Thor movie. I just that made the episode for me just because I thought it was hilarious.
Oh yeah, the fall through a portal to Asgard.
Yeah. Well, and then we also have Thor's hammer over in the old Rumble Castle, and you said something like there's runes on Thor's hammer.
Yeah, there were runes on Thor's hammer, like we saw on the urn a couple weeks ago. So I mean, if runes become a big thing, which we'll talk about that in a second, then that could tie in Thor's hammer.
And the runes kind of remind me of Lord of the Ring, elvish kind of writing you would see in the movies or something like that. That's what I always kind of thought they look like to me.
Oh, definitely. It's like anytime you have some sort of fantasy setting, 9 times out of 10, they have some sort of weird language they've made up with its own symbols and everything else.
And this is where I go. They studied ancient runes in Harry Potter. That's all I got. No Oblo Thor.
Something I thought I would mention about the Thor reference, though, I noticed a couple people while pointing it out online, they were like, well, Josh Dallas wasn't in the second Thor movie because he was on once and couldn't make it. From what I heard, it was actually because they wanted Zachary Levi in the role originally, and they couldn't get him, so they cast Josh Dallas, and then the second time they could get him.
Oh.
So that's why Josh Dallas wasn't asked back
it was
for
like,
the second one.
Peace.
Peace out.
Peace.
Okay, you know what?
We talked about that. I don't really need mine if we don't need it.
Yeah, we already talked about Lily. So why don't we do just a minute or two of yelling out random notes?
Okay.
So you can go ahead and go from your list here if you want to.
Okay. There's no online class for magic.
Sydney getting frustrated with Regina. Good.
Get a warm coat.
Regina and Emma Swan Queen fans probably love this.
Prince and princess.
Hey, how did Lilith's dad find her?
Oh.
That's what I was kind of wondering.
What was that? GPS tracker.
In the 90s? No. You have a family? The ultimate betrayal.
Is the Snow Queen's hideout in the Fortress of Solitude? I was wondering.
What was that, Amy?
No sheriff line. The whole, I'm a wife of the sheriff. I'm the mother of the sheriff. Mm-hmm. But how can, or, and then Will goes something like, well, how are you supposed to, how can you pardon me? And she goes, I'm the mayor. Well, then yes, he set it up.
Yes, he absolutely did. Yeah.
That whole scene was just
was
a delight.
Awesome. Where did the other mirror pieces come from?
Bring back eyeliner again. The frozen stuff felt really tacked on this episode, but I love the one stuff.
Emma's box of her past.
Emma's box of her pal.
Oh,
we're echoing now from you, I think, Amy.
Amy.
I'm what?
Yeah, that's you.
We can hear ourselves through you now. Did you change anything?
No, I haven't touched my computer.
That's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, because we're getting like a...
But you guys are kind of cutting out for me too, so I don't know what...
Here, you know what? Let's get a random scale here real quick. Okay, out of... 233 frenemies. How many frenemies would you give this episode, Amy?
What was the number again?
332.
332.
It was not that.
It was not.
200. Yeah. I liked bits and pieces of it, but not, you know, wasn't my favorite episode of the season.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Amy, since you're echoing, we're going to go ahead and dump you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
Okay. Bye.
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 We talk soon.
Okay, there we go. Okay, Amy.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Amy. Like, it was just, we couldn't concentrate.
No.
Okay, out of 332 frenemies.
323. I put it in the chat mostly because you kept changing it.
323 frenemies. Amy, what do you give her?
I like that whole 200 thing.
200? Not liking it so much?
Dude, I fell asleep. Mm-hmm. I watched the second time through, like, sped up.
Yeah,
I know, speak English, and it was still boring. It was fast and boring. So, how about you?
I'd give it 175, which is pretty low.
Wow, yeah. You give it lower than me.
I did.
Makes me rethink mine.
I just, the things I liked about it, I really liked. I really liked the Emma backstory. I really liked, if nothing else, the moves that Sydney made this episode and the potential those moves had. But overall, it felt like a bunch of disconnected vignettes that had a bunch of frozen stuff tacked on that didn't fit. I
didn't feel too much frozen stuff. Like, the characters were there, but there wasn't frozen. There was Snow Queen garbage.
I think that was the problem. Like, last week...
They're going to throw things at me now because I said Snow Queen garbage, but whatever.
But last week, there was a lot of that stuff, but it all kind of tied in nice to all the more once proper stuff that was going on.
Right.
And this week just didn't have that. It was there just to be there.
Yeah.
And Elsa was there just to be there, and it was night because it needed to be night. Mm. And, you know, it was uneven overall. But here's to next week. Hopefully it will be
much Chills better. To next week.
Drink some Haterade.
Drink my Haterade.
Okay, let's see here. Real quick, we're going to talk, and we want to thank Audible for sponsoring this week's episode.
Yes, Audible, yay!
Of Greetings from Storybrooke. They're back. And if you don't know what Audible is, it's a service where you can go and you sign up and you get a free credit a month to get an audiobook.
A free credit?
Yeah. Well, you have to pay for the subscription, of course.
You pay for the subscription, but you get the free credit.
And then you get a free credit. Yeah, you get a credit, and you can get any audiobook you want. And it's real convenient because you can throw it on your MP3 player, your iPod, some cars take them.
Some Androids.
iPad, probably Apple
Desktop.
TV, maybe.
Maybe
Apple TV.
Creative Zune.
Anything you can sync to iTunes
Windows.
With DRM, you're good to go. And then you can listen to audiobooks while you're running, while you're driving. You know, you can keep up on your reading, which is always good, especially like your nonfiction reading. And we always like to give people a couple of options for audiobooks when they're taking advantage of the very generous 30-day free trial Audible's offering for our listeners. And we both picked nonfiction.
We did.
Emery, what was your
well,
pick?
Well, I don't know if mine's really nonfiction.
Well, it's nonfiction.
It's fictional nonfiction?
About fiction, yeah.
Okay. Due to the numerous Harry Potter references this week, I'm going with Harry, a History, the True Story of a Boy Wizard, His Fans, and the Life Inside the Harry Potter Phenomenon.
By Melissa Anelli. And it's 10 hours and 58 minutes. So
that might be my next download.
Yes.
Just saying.
A lot of history there. And since Emma seems to keep so many random pieces of junk from her life, I decided to pick The Hoarder in You, How to Live a Happier, Healthier, Uncluttered Life. Some people might say that Emma's unhappiness rises from the fact that she lost her parents when she was born and had to break a curse and all that. I think it's because she's a hoarder. So I think if she eliminates, you know, some of that clutter, she's going to be feeling a lot better, and her boyfriends are going to be staying a lot more alive, for sure. Now, we want to thank Audible again for sponsoring this week's episode, and to get your free audiobook download so you can try out the service, see if you like it, which you will.
You
guaranteed.
Will. It's a good time.
Go to audibletrial.com/Storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Storybrooke for your free audiobook. And we want to thank them again for sponsoring this week's episode.
Thank you, Audible. And I would just like to point out that we are alone in our principles of hating this. What? Oh, Hope's yelling things. Hold on. I'll come back to that.
Oh, you have some arbitrary scales for us.
Oh, I do. I have
chat room.
Bobby Hawk gives it a 300. Patty gives it an 85%. Hope also gives it a 300. Apparently, we are the only ones who did not like this.
I feel bad. I feel bad for
I
the
don't
Haterade.
Because I believe we were the only ones who hated Tallahassee as well.
We are generally our reputation is as a very pretty positive podcast.
True story.
So I think we're allowed to have haterade once in a while. Also, Hope mentions that she's in the Harry Potter book.
No, her friends are. Read her the friends. Entire sentence.
No, she says, my friends are in that book. I'm
oh,
in that
you're
book.
In. Oh, okay. I'll read the entire sentence yeah. then. How's that?
And
okay.
now, on to the news.
News.
Okay, first up, and I see Amy still sitting there. Sorry, Amy. Like I. Here, let's see if the echoing's
Let's
gone.
Try it again.
Can I hear myself back?
Can I hear myself back?
Yes, we can. We're going to mute you again.
We can hear you, but every time we talk, we hear ourselves back. So I'm sorry. I saw the dog, though.
I see the puppy. We like the puppy.
Okay, here we go. First up is the ratings. And the ratings is 6.6 million people watched and 2.3 million share, which was down 19 and 15% respectively, which hit a season low demo rating, but also they were up a tenth over last year. So doing better than last year, but the worst for the season, more or less.
You'll have that.
You take the good, you take the bad.
You take them all. And
was there something interesting in the chat room?
Nope, I was reading. Hope had a series.
Okay, that's fair.
Hope speaks in small spurts. I have to catch up with them.
Okay, well, let's see here. Let's go ahead and take a look at the preview for Family Queen? Business. As always, we watch this because we don't want YouTube to take it down, and we tell you what's happening. Okay, so let's see here.
Get
walking through the woods.
Out my business. Runes.
A lot of runes.
Was
a scroll
a
of runes. Yeah, it was an ice cream truck, I think.
Of course.
And then
it was
there's
an
Anna.
Truck. Anna and Elsa
and
back
Elsa,
in the day.
Elsa in her formal gown.
The box.
And the dagger.
The dagger.
And Belle with the dagger. And
Belle
climbing
and
a mountain.
Anna.
On a mountain.
I need a timeline. You're better left buried, Snow Queen.
Yeah, but it looks really interesting. Definitely looks very interesting. You okay there?
I'm dying.
You're gonna make it. Anne-Marie's gonna die. I'll need a new co-host next week. When we're watching Family Business, and as always,
you can get
those links and the links to everything else we talked about tonight at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And we also put a post up there every week of the letters that don't make it into our feedback segment. So even if you think, oh, everyone's going to be talking this week, go ahead and send feedback. And if nothing else, we'll get it up on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some feedback to go over this week.
Yes. Is that starting with me?
It is in a minute.
Oh.
But I wanted to let everyone know, you know, after you're done watching Family Business next week, I just need you to pull out your smartphone and email us. greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, Twitter @GFStorybrooke, Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, and the voicemail number, which we almost always play,
almost.
Is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Again, I have to stress, just pull out your smartphone and do it from there, because I hear people have been doing like weird things, like jumping out of windows, causing traffic accidents, threatening their family with knives, things like that.
No threatening
to get
with
to
daggers.
Their computers.
No wavy
Don't
knives.
Do that. Just
no
pull
wavy
out your smartphone,
knives.
Type it in. We're good to go. And we'll start out with some voicemails here.
Wow.
The first one we have is from Don Owen.
Pause.
Oh, what's that?
Hope pointed out that, did you see, the TV line ratings had adjusted from Rocky Road. It was raised 48% of its original rating. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a pretty significant jump there.
Yes, quite a bit. Okay, but we'll
sorry.
Start off with,
sorry,
with this voicemail from Don that we got a little bit after we recorded our episode last week, but it'll all make sense.
Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. This is Donna War. How you doing? I don't expect you to use this. I'm always off. Timing-wise, I'm listening to your podcast right now. So that's what I do. I watch the show. I listen to the podcast at work during the week. I've been with you guys the whole time. So I'm also watching Gotham as well. If you ever want me to be a guest on any of your shows, I am perfectly willing. Just give me a heads up ahead of time so I can watch the show at the right time to tell you about. But then they won't matter by the time you get to the next podcast anyway, because I am behind. I always want to talk back to you when I listen to the podcast. I actually do talk back to you, but you don't hear it. So I thought I'd give you a call, let you know I'm here, let you know I'm listening, let you know I'm talking back. There's so many points that I would like to make, and none of them will matter in your next podcast. So, and Gotham, too. I watch Gotham the same way. Hi, it's Donna War again. Hi. I'm just, all right. You think, like, Anna, like with all the love that she seems to have for Elsa while she's talking to Rumpelstiltskin and doing all this business, doesn't seem to care a thing about like how she's about to get married to this dude. Like, she doesn't care about him. She only cares about Elsa. It's really weird. I thought it was weird. Anyway, here's my crazy theory. Ready for a crazy theory? Do we do that on the show? Yes. Do that on this show now. Sarah Fisher, like Sarah Connor, maybe she's from the future. That's all I got. All right, bye.
I love both of those messages.
There were more. Those were edited together.
The first one was longer.
Yeah.
But it all had a lot of very episode-specific stuff, so
it was still amazing.
Didn't want to distract too much. But thank you so much, Dawn. And we need to have you on soon. Go to that form, bit.ly/beyondgreetings.
True story.
And put your name there just so I have it there when I go to do it, because I always forget if I don't have it there.
Yeah, we won't remember.
But next up is actually our guest from last week, Hope. She sent in a voicemail this week.
Hey, guys, it's Hope. I absolutely love this week's episode. I was so happy to like it because you guys know how much I hated last week's episode. But the biggest thing I wanted to really point out is I'm starting to have a theory that they're setting the Knave of Hearts up for something really big. But I'm starting to wonder, what is he looking for? What is he digging for? Why does he need a travel sack when he has an apartment in Storybrooke? And then I started thinking more about the Ice Queen. We know that his sister died in an ice lake and she drowned. And so originally my big theory was that he was going to be related to the Ice Queen, and then we found out that it was Elsa. But I'm starting to think that more and more, you know. The Ice Queen was really focusing on the mirror this episode. Well, what did Will steal from Maleficent? He stole a looking glass, and that's how you get to Wonderland. And maybe that's how he's trying to get back to Anna. So I think they're starting to build something bigger. Two more quick points. I love Josh Dallas's line about Asgard, because I miss him as Fandral, and he was perfect in the role. And I wish they would get away from the Disney-based stuff over the literary-based stuff. It feels so heavily Disney this season. And the reason why Neverland was so good is because they based it all on the book, not the Disney movie. So I hope they go back to being more literary-based in the second half. Can't wait to hear you guys. Bye.
There's definitely something cooking with Will.
Oh, yeah, it's cooking.
Yeah, it's
cooking. It is
cooking. And I like watching it cook.
I'd like it to cook a little bit faster. Let's turn it up.
We should probably also cook this episode a little bit faster, since we're almost at an hour now.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, we only have feedback.
Okay, we have a couple small bits here real quick. These are just little things that didn't quite make it into the episode.
Go.
Okay, Holly said she thinks we should keep an eye on Sydney, but we already are.
Rachel mentioned she's not into the Frozen storyline, and whoever called the Snow Queen was dead on. Bill guessed it first, but probably not really.
Alina noted that she still wants to know why the Knave is back in Storybrooke. I'm guessing he upset John Lithgow.
Other Anne-Marie confessed that she was a little all over the place, but Sydney betrayed Regina, is still cold on the Snow Queen, and loved Snow's costume in this episode. Less frumpy, right? She looked nice.
And finally, Victoria said she'll be glad when the Frozen part is over, and she's also glad that Belle will have something to do next week. All hail Victoria, speaker of truths. Okay, you want to read Chris Tipton's letter?
Sure, sorry, I was hailing Victoria. scrolled too far. Doop, 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 doop. Okay. Hey, y'all. I felt like Emma's backstory just rehashed what we've seen so many times. She trusted someone and got hurt. It did jive well with her and Regina's plot in this episode. Those two are amazing together, as always. We got to see more Will than we've seen so far. His line, "Somebody's already had a nibble," is one of my all-time favorite lines. Sydney portrayed Regina. It didn't see that one coming. Elizabeth Mitchell as the Snow Queen is so epic. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that, Christopher. no Rumple. It is very convenient and easy for Elsa to break out of her chains, and how did Emma just still have that camera? Snow and Charming's story just seemed silly to me. Overall, my least favorite episode of the year, thank you, Haterade, but still strong, simply because Elizabeth Mitchell. 37,500 out of 50,000 Pop-Tarts. That's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, definitely.
And sprinkles.
That reminds me, I did like how they had the Pop-Tarts connecting the old Emma.
I loved that.
But thank you, Chris, and thank you for not liking the episode, because everyone in the chat
we were alone
it.
In our principles.
Okay, next up is Rain. Rain says, good day, Bill and Anne-Marie.
Well, good day to you, Rain.
The following statements are rantish. To help in keeping with the peaceful tone, you can read them with the Snow Queen's voice.
How are you going to do that?
Tonight's episode, to be very honest, is a mess. Okay, so there's the original Snow Queen reference the mirror, which she tries to build like a puzzle. And the last piece is Regina's pocket
makeup. Where's the fast forward button?
Regina's pocket makeup mirror with Sydney in it. I don't understand why it's important. It's not even the mirror that Regina used to trap Sydney. I kind of got the impression that it was like transmuted, like shrunken down for travel or something.
Something like that.
But let's see. I also think the writers need to stop putting giant creatures in Storybrooke because, to be honest, they look so cartoonish and cheap. Kind of agree. Kind of agree.
Completely agree.
Emery claps. The plot moved from very little from last week's episode to think there are lots of things to focus on, i.e. Will's arrival to Storybrooke, mm-hmm. Elsa and Emma's memory loss, mm-hmm. Henry's apprenticeship to Rumpel, mm-hmm. Snow's mayoral duties, mm-hmm. doesn't include giving a pardon to a prisoner just for pleasure, etc. I wish next week's episode will be a lot better. This goes to be my least favorite episode of this season so far.
Yes!
And I didn't pick these out just because they were haterade. These are just the letters I picked this week. Sorry if I can't send a voicemail. Apparently, it's easier finding the missing Mulan than sending a voicemail from Manila to you.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize you were in Manila.
Yep. And that's the same reason why I can't get a shirt.
Oh, God. The shipping would be horrible. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. If you download the logo, you can print out your own shirt.
Sure, 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 sure.
P.S. Did somebody try to create a fairy tale world map with every kingdom of the Enchanted Forest plus Arendelle, which I assume is very distant? I hope one will pop out somewhere. Actually hope you can create them. We can't create them. Somewhere out there.
Somebody, please.
If someone out there created it and sent it to us.
We would post it.
We'd put it everywhere.
We would blast it on the social medias. Okay, definitely. Next.
Thank you, Rain.
Yes, thank you, Rain. Hey, Anne and Bill. Anne Marie. and Bill, hope everyone's feeling better. Feeling great, thanks. Man, I think we all got hit by the allergies last week. Mm-hmm. And speaking of being free, that was definitely a theme this week. Sydney, the knave, Elsa, even Emma attempting to break the ice with Regina. Rim shut. Oh my gosh, young Emma. Oh my heart. Dun, dun, dun. Evil messing around with memory things. And the star bit reminded me of how she later got the flower tattoo and has a star keychain and other stars all over season one. # sneaky knave digging holes made me think of rabbit ones. Is he looking for Percy? That poor rabbit.
I also thought maybe the star might tie into the hat.
Yeah, probably. On that note, going to give this one 6.5 ice warriors out of 10. Hugs and cheers, Ash.
Thank you, Ash.
Cheers to you.
I always love Ash's letters. They're always so frantic and fun.
And I have to read them that way because it just makes it more entertaining for me.
Okay, well, we are running a little long. Thanks to everyone who stuck around tonight. We usually record these over on Google Plus Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. EST. Also thank you, Amy, for sorry we had to kind of cut you loose.
I know,
there.
I'm sorry.
But it was just it was too hard to talk. Amory, where can people find you online?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone or on my blog at CCHCblog on Twitter or mm-hmm. crunchycrafty.com.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow me on Google Plus, which is good because that's where we post the – or where we host
that's where we are at the moment.
Host the live episodes is google.com/plusbillmeeks. And you can find the words I write, the stories I write about a young superhero named Dog Boy at dogboyadventures.com. A new one of those coming out pretty soon too. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I hope next week gets better because I hate being haterady.
Hate haterade.
But it's constructive haterade.
It is. We're trying.
We're trying. And we'll continue to try until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke. Sorry, I didn't realize you were there already.
It's fine. It happened.